And welcome back. My dad is here. It's so funny because I do the shows from home, and the kids are off today because of Memorial Day. So normally my wife would, okay, she just takes care of it. She's out of town this weekend, bachelorette weekend. So I messaged my dad. I said, hey, do you mind coming over early and being there for the kids this morning while I'm doing the show? He said, sure, he likes doing it. That's fine, nice and early. And he went upstairs. I went to get some water, and he said, hey, what's going on with that biker stampede that happened in Horry County? I'm like, what do you mean? So I look it up. The Atlantic Beach officials are talking about this incident. 19 people were injured in a stampede at a biker event. And part of it is, you know, you have Myrtle Beach. It was north of that. And they set up a stage in Atlantic Beach, and it looks beautiful, and everything looks really nice. And people are having fun. But whenever you get a situation where you have that many people that show up to an event, it seems like there's always some sort of potential of something like this happening. Three were taken to the hospital. 19 suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Officials say there were no confirmed fights, weapons, or direct threats to public safety. It just started when someone started running. And when someone sees someone running, they say, okay, something's happening. We all got to get out of here. And I think people are just on edge all the time during these big public events. I'm sure we'll learn more about this as the time goes by. You know, something else happened over the weekend. Did you see the gunman at the White House? And this is something else. My dad's like, what's going on with this gunman stuff? Will they stop trying to shoot the president? A crazed gunman who believed he was Jesus pulled out a revolver and opened fire outside the White House on Saturday night before he was quickly taken down by Secret Service. 21-year-old Nasir Best is his name, open fire. And they don't mess around, man. So he tried to get past a checkpoint a little after 6 and was seen pacing in a strange manner, only got a few shots off, and then he was killed by a hail of bullets from federal officers. And you've probably seen some of the people doing live shots outside of the White House during this time because they were reporting on how they could be getting close to a deal in Iran. So you had the president of the United States and a lot of the top leaders rush back to the White House so they can negotiate with the negotiators in Pakistan and all the other. I mean, there's so many different countries involved in this. If you were to look up Donald Trump's tweet on it, you would say, wow, there are so many different parties that need to be satisfied in something like this. So they were all there in high alert on security. So a dude showing up with a revolver thinking he's just going to pop a couple of shots off at the White House in that direction, that ain't going to fly, obviously. So Secret Service and snipers and everyone else took this person down very quickly. At least one bystander was hit and seriously wounded, a source said. But if you get to see the video, it would give the appearance this guy got off like 30 shots. He only got a few shots off. The 30 that you're hearing are federal officers taking this guy down and not taking any chances. And part of it is on the roof of the White House, you get to see Secret Service and all these other people. They operate very quickly, and they shut things down on the streets very quickly. They know what they're doing. And I'm glad that they know what they're doing, even on a weekend like a holiday, that they don't go shorthanded. That was something else that happened over the weekend. And a lot of people are on edge. Anywhere you go, you think in the back of your head, could something like this happen? Crazed lunatic that hates Donald Trump or hates Republicans or hate whatever goes off and says, I'm going to try to hurt as many of them as I can. And it scares me. You know, as a father, it's like you don't want to go to large events with your kids anymore because you're thinking, okay, do I want to risk going downtown? Or, you know, because keep in mind, I live outside Detroit. And no matter what they say about the city of Detroit, they make it sound like everything's fixed and everything's great and it's a model place and we should look at how Detroit fixed themselves and we should just use that as a blueprint to help other major dangerous cities. No, don't buy into that narrative. It still has a lot of problems. And it's like that whenever you get any area for the most part. You know, this hour we have a lot to get to, and a little bit later, I don't know if you know this, we're going to bring on an author that wrote the book America's Great Parking Scam, You've Been Robbed, Carrie Lutz. Speaking of downtown, and no matter where you are, parking and paid parking is out of control. So Carrie Lutz, we're going to have a conversation with him about that because he wrote a book about how it's just absolutely, you're getting taken advantage of. You're getting raked through the coals. If you want to message the show, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 800-905-0989. I'm looking at some of the text messages coming in. Why is it that media, including comedians, either make fun of Republicans? I remember when jokes were along both parties. Okay, thank you for that message. One person said, Jerry's map looked just like a salamander by others in politicians, and the papers then called the map gerrymandered. That's what was, thank you for that text message. I love Rich Rubino, and if you missed that interview with him, you can always go back later when the podcast is posted, or if you have the Odyssey app, just, you know, rewind back about, oh, a half hour ago, and you can listen to the start of that interview. All right, so Kevin O'Leary, he's Mr. Wonderful. You may remember him and know him from the Shark Tank series. He was talking about Gen Z being financially cooked, and he got a lot of people upset about this online. When you hear about old people talking to the young people about if you were just more financially responsible, you wouldn't be in this situation. You know, stop with your avocado toast and then your $5 coffees and everything will be fine. I think people, when they hear that argument, they say, okay, boomer, shut up. You know, a house cost 10 grand when you were growing up, so don't give me this. A starter home now is like 250, 300,000 for a starter home. So he's like, okay, at least in most major areas, let's put it that way. It's not like that everywhere, but still. Kevin O'Leary, normally when people say comments like this, people jump on him. But in this one instance, I think Kevin O'Leary put some pretty sound financial truth behind this. Listen to this. I think you might agree with him or you might not. And that's why I want you to have your phone ready. I want you to text me on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line at 800-905-0989 and tell me if Kevin O'Leary is right.
Can't stand it when I see kids that are making 70 grand a year spending $28 for lunch. I mean, that's just stupid. It's just, think about that in the context of that being put into an index and making 8 to 10% a year for the next 50 years.
Okay, so you're saying, okay, people spending, I can't stand it when I'm watching a kid, whatever, they're making 70 grand a year, which may be ambitious in a lot of areas, but keep in mind, Kevin O'Leary lives in the New Yorks of the world. So the cost of living in, like, let's say in LA or New York is extremely higher. So let's just keep that in mind. So you're living in a spot where you might have to eat out every day because you're in a high-rise building or you're doing this or you're doing that. You're on the go. You have a high-pressure job. So you're spending $30 a lunch, $28 a lunch, he says. And every day you're spending $28 and what that could mean in the long run. All right, he goes on to say more.
Stop buying coffee for $5.50. I can walk around with anybody for a day and show you that they're wasting 15% of their money, sometimes 20. Stupid stuff. You know, you go to work, you spend $15 on a sandwich. What are you, an idiot? It costs you 99 cents to make a sandwich at home and bring it with you. So what if you bring it with you? Bring your own water if you have to, or your own drink, or bring your own coffee mug. You start to add that up every day, it's a ton of money. Most people, particularly working in metropolitan cities that are just starting out on their job, making their first $60,000, piss away about $15,000 a year on stupid stuff. And that's what they should stop doing.
Okay. If Kevin O'Leary followed you around, would he be able to cut some of the fat that's in your budget? All right. I want you to give me a text message. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 800-905-0989. Is he right? Or is Kevin O'Leary out of touch? I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara on WORD. Don't go anywhere. Hey, welcome back. I'm looking at some of the reactions here about Kevin O'Leary. And a lot of people are on his side. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 800-905-0989. I am a geriatric millennial, which means I am on the older scale, which means when I grew up, we didn't have a computer in the home. I remember what a big deal it was when we bought our first computer. I remember hooking it up to the kitchen table because we didn't have a computer desk to put it on. And I remember what it was like when my mom brought home Wolfenstein 3D, and I saw what it was like to do a 3D game when all I had was Nintendo and Super Nintendo before that, and I thought, whoa, PC gaming is amazing. So I grew up in a time before the internet, and I grew up in a time when I had to learn a lot of things that now people just automatically have a computer do for them. And the world of AI, what my kids are growing up in, you have to make sure they know how to use the old stuff, because one day I know that type of way of thinking will help them. Because there's a certain way of thinking that goes into using your hands, knowing how it used to be done, because in a lot of ways, technology today just kind of replicates those steps, and you'll never be able to troubleshoot unless you know the way it used to be done, and then you can, okay, let's go through these steps in my mind. I can help this out. So that's where I'm at as a geriatric millennial. Luckily, when I bought my first house with my wife, it was coming off of Obama's crash, late 2000s, early 2010s. We bought our first home. And at the time, I thought, wow, we're really stretching our budget when we paid $110,000 for a house. That was the stretch of the budget. And I keep thinking about this, and I tell my wife, we are so lucky and smart that we bought the house when we did, because we instantly got some equity because the home sales rose. And then when, unfortunately, working in radio, you end up going into different markets. So we end up selling the house. We bought another house. That house value increased. We sold that house, bought another house. We're on a third house right now. And I kept thinking to myself, if we were still in the first house, we'd have it paid off by now, that 110. Here's the problem that we run into, and the way Kevin O'Leary, I'll read some of your text messages too. Let me read these text messages first, then I'll make my point. One person said, I love it when you fill in, Ryan. Oh, it's been too long. I know. Thank you. One person said, Kevin O'Leary sounds about right to me. O'Leary is so right. Another one, he's right. They don't understand wants versus needs and delaying gratification. Social media is a big contributor to that mindset. Another person said, Ryan, I agree with Kevin, and I'll do you one better in regards to home ownership. The nicest, most expensive cars you'll find are at apartment complexes. That is an interesting point. You ever look around at coworkers of yours and you say, how can they afford to live? And I drive a beater. I drive a 20-year-old car that's rusted, and it's got 210,000 miles on it. It runs, but it is nothing to look at. When it gets cold, the transmission's sluggish. I mean, there's a lot of problems with this thing. And every day when I start this thing up, I think, is this going to be the last day this thing runs? Because when it's dead, it's dead. There is no reviving this thing. And I go into work, and I work in radio. And when you work in radio, you look around and you say, okay, it's not the most lucrative business. So wait a minute, how are people driving all these nice new cars? And I think to myself, maybe they put the emphasis on the car and they delay other things that are more important to them in life. Could that be possible? One person said, kind of hard to buy a home when you have a $1,000 car payment. Ooh, that's a good point. One person said, Mr. Wonderful is right. By cutting back on or cutting out completely bottles of water, designer water, and coffee and sodas, a person can put the something. Our texting is a little bit weird. It kind of cuts it into multiple phrases. Okay. Money in a Roth IRA or into a high yield savings account and save towards a mortgage. Eating leftovers is a great way to save money. Don't throw money away in the trash. Okay. One person said, I don't know if he is right, but when you factor in things like taxes, time, gas, electricity to cook and stuff, now I see the most waste of money is Grubhub, and that the biggest problem I've seen, but that's my opinion. Okay. So here's what I'm going to point out. And here's the trap that I think we really run into, and this is where the problem is, because affordability when it comes to housing is a big issue. When you have the cost of a home, where a starter home is like $250 now, okay, and the interest rate is, let's say, 6.5% APR, okay? Now, one, you got to come up with 10 to 20%, hopefully 20% down on that house. So now you're talking about, well, 50 grand. That's a lot of money to come down 50 grand. You don't have that. Okay, so now you come up with, let's say, 10 grand, and you're paying the extra tax for the insurance because you're under that 20% marker. Okay, so that's going to add on to your monthly payment. When I look at, like, my parents, for example, or let's look at anyone, let's say going back 30 years, even back to the 1990s, when you can buy a house for 100 grand and you're happy with that house, you're like, 100 grand, that's a good house. Would you rather pay, let's say 10% on a $100,000 house? Or would you rather pay 6.5% to 7% on a $300,000 house? So taxes have gone up. Property taxes have gone through the roof. Local governments, states, they have bent you over a barrel on this one because they have just, the taxes are out of control in so many different spots. Insurance is a lot higher too. So all the auxiliaries that you would normally lump in to an escrow to pay for that mortgage, it's much more than just the percentage that you're paying on the loan. You're paying a high percentage rate compared to, you know, the amount that the house is worth. So you're paying more there. The banks are getting more money. Everyone's getting more money, and everyone else is getting poorer because the way that it costs to live and own a home is more expensive. Now, let alone if you have to hire someone to come in and fix something in your house, how much more expensive is that? If you bring a person out to your house, essentially they'll look at that and say, oh, that'll cost $1,000 to fix. Like, they don't even want to come out to your house unless they can make a grand off of you. Isn't that ridiculous? They're like, okay, fine. I got 10 other people that I can go service, and they'll pay that just because they want to get it done, and they're not going to think twice about it. So everywhere you look, you are just paying out the nose. So here we are today. Everything's more expensive. You can do everything right. You could skip the avocado toast. You can skip the $5 coffees. You can never order from Grubhub. And you can buy and drive a 20-year-old beater, and everything is still too expensive. So this is my gripe against Kevin O'Leary. You're right. People can take that money and they can put it into an account. And if you're lucky on the ambitious side, you make 8% on that account. But based on the way the cost of living is today, you're not going to be able to do that because you're going to have to save for a down payment, or you're just the cost for everything. A brand new car, if you want to buy a car, the starter car now is like 40 grand. That's like the cheap starter car. If you buy a new car, if you buy a used car, you're looking at 8 grand for a car that doesn't have 150,000 miles on it. So now everything that you're doing, you're saving up and you have to spend it. You're saving up and you have to spend it. You can't make headway. And listen, even if you cut all those things out in your life that I mentioned before, you're still going to feel like you're falling behind. That's the problem we live in today. I know when it comes to housing, the Trump administration and urban development and all of these different national agencies are working with Donald Trump because they're saying we got to cut regulations. We got to make it easier to not only build a house, but we got to make it so you don't get taxed out of your house too. Let alone, let's say you've been in your house forever and they want to keep raising your property taxes and now you can't afford to live in a house that you actually own outright. That is stupid, ridiculous. That shouldn't happen for our seniors. You can do everything right, Kevin O'Leary, and you can still fall behind. So we got to address housing, absolutely. Oh, and someone else texting in, ultimately blame the Fed and the fake money. Yes, that's all contributing into this. All right, coming up after the break, Carrie Lutz, author of America's Great Parking Scam, You've Been Robbed. And boy, is Carrie Lutz right. I am not a fan of having to go anywhere and pay for parking because it is a scam. If you want to reach me at Ryan Recker, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook would be another great way, too. I'll keep the text messages open. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 800-905-0989. Don't go anywhere on WORD. Welcome back to the Tara Show. I'm Ryan Recker on this Memorial Day. I'm happy to be with you. If you want to reach me, a couple of different ways, at Ryan Recker on Twitter, Ryan Recker Radio Facebook. And we do have the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line open, 800-905-0989. Feel free to give us a text message. I keep my eyes open for those. And joining us now is someone that is probably more frustrated than I am, but I'll get there. He has a new book called America's Great Parking Scam, You've Been Robbed. Carrie Lutz, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Ryan, really appreciate you having me on, and you're getting an exclusive. This is a national scandal. It's billions of dollars that are extracted wrongfully from the American driving public yearly, and they know they're doing it, it's time to put a stop to it.
I know. And I said, I'm not as frustrated as you yet. I feel like I can easily get there based on what I'm reading so far. And what's interesting, too, you do have a background in investigations. And it says this is an investigation into one of the most profitable and least accountable grifts in modern America. What's going on when it comes to the parking situation?
All right. Well, in any downtown, and really any town of substantial size, they now charge you to park at the curb that your taxes paid for. And that would be bad enough in itself. I mean, the original reason they charged for parking in downtown areas was that people would park in front of stores all day long and merchants would lose business. So they created the parking meter, interestingly enough, in Oklahoma in the early 1930s, and you put your nickel in there and you were there for an hour and then you got a ticket. So it forced turnover and it actually helped the merchants. You could no longer have people spending the entire day there parking their cars, going to work or whatever they were doing. But now it's turned into a scam. It's extraction. In Palm Beach County here where I live in Florida, the city of Palm Beach, the town of Palm Beach, where our president resides, Mar-a-Lago, they require you to use an app. You can no longer pay in a kiosk. You can no longer pay with a credit card. They don't take cash. They only take apps. So you pay for this inflated parking. There it's $5 to $7 an hour because they don't really want you there. And then you use an app. You're forced to use an app. Just like Obamacare, you were forced to buy insurance. Here, you're forced to download an app, agree to their terms of service, which is a contract, and then you have to pay to pay for parking. They charge you 50 cents, and then when you extend your time, it's another 40 or 50 cents. And this is just out-and-out grift. It's extraction, adds nothing to the economy. And people have had enough of it. And in Palm Beach, they're just doing it to try to keep people out. And it's all over the place. The other thing that's going on is the signs. No parking signs are regulated by federal law, believe it or not, on every single highway in the United States under something called the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices. Every state, in order to get highway funding, has to adopt by statute or regulation the MUTCD, and it becomes the state's law. And the signs that you see are usually apps. They're app-provided signs, and they have advertising on them, and they're hard to recognize. The whole point of these controlled signs, federally controlled, is so that if you're in Miami or you're in Seattle, you see the same signs, consistency, you know what to do. When they start messing with that scheme, what happens is you have to start to slow down to try to read the sign to figure out whether you can park there or not. That creates a hazard, and it also slows down traffic. So between the apps, another aspect that's shocking is, as you know and I know, children get their licenses, whether you think they should or not, it's 16 years old, 17 years old. In Alaska, I think you get a license when you're 14. And these people, they have a right to park on the streets too. But the problem is they're minors. They really are not supposed to be entering into contracts because the whole reason that exists is so they aren't taken advantage of. Did you know that when you download that app and you pay for parking, you waive your privacy rights? They can share your data, geolocation data. They know exactly where you are when you park. They know it. And they share this data. They can store your data in foreign countries according to the terms of service, but they make no provision for minors. You waive your rights, but a minor, someone under the age of 18 in most states, cannot waive their privacy rights. They also require you to waive your right to be in a class action. They demand that you consent to arbitration if there's a legal dispute over your terms of service. So it's these types of things They privatized it, and your parking app is a data mining device. It harvests data about you. When you are a regular parker using those apps, they create behavioral profiles. And then you combine that with license plate scanners, and you've got a whole panopticon of digital non-state surveillance.
Right. Well, you have a website, parkscam.com, and the book, America's Great Parking Scam, You've Been Robbed, author Carrie Lutz joining us. And, you know, I think about, too, different scandals and news stories I've covered in the past, ones that really get your blood boiling, like those TOA Away scams, where there's just the city people are waiting for you to tow your vehicle and then charge you hundreds of dollars to get it back, even if you did nothing wrong. There's so many of these things that go on. It's so frustrating. It drives people away. It's like people like me, if I'm going to go to a downtown area, I don't want to have to deal with any of this. This almost guarantees I'm not going to go downtown. This guarantees I'm not going to, I'm going to skip these areas altogether. And businesses, the owners have to hate this.
Oh, they do. They do. In Florida, they put it in a place that was always free, and businesses are going out right and left. One other thing I'd like to say, if the sign is illegal under the law, then they can't enforce it, because if it doesn't meet the regulatory requirements, it's not considered notice. Signs are there, due process, to notify you of a law. And if the sign doesn't comply with those requirements, then the ticket that you get, your parking ticket, probably is not legal, which is why in places like New York City, get this, New York City issued 11 million parking tickets, close to it, in the last year, I think in 2024. And only 3 or 4% of the people challenged those tickets, but of that, 30 to 40% were dismissed. And this just shows mostly they're dismissed because of defective signage. Mm-hmm. So I encourage all of you out there to get the book, parkscam.com. When you get a parking ticket, challenge it. And that's another thing. Now the apps actually are the judge, jury, and executioner. And you know that in certain places, when you get a ticket, they can tow you, like New York City and Boston and Chicago, other cities, they can boot you. So the damages keep adding up and adding up. It's time to end the scam. And the more you know, look, if 10, 15% of the people challenge their tickets, they would have a problem on their hands. If 25 to 35% of the people challenge the tickets, they would have a meltdown. It just can't be done. And it's up to all of you out there to stop putting up with this. It's our choice. And Ryan, the more you fight it, the more they're going to become accountable. There's zero accountability in the parking industrial complex now.
Right. And, you know, one of the signs that really indicate to me like this is worth fighting, if that ticket comes from a third party and not a government, then I'm like, okay, 100%. You're just arbitrarily sending quote-unquote tickets to people and hoping they're not going to double-check it, and they're just going to send you money voluntarily. So part of this, too, is strategies to fight back, and you mentioned that. You have to look for things like this.
Yeah, well, their whole hope is called pay and go away. Basically, you're going to pay the ticket because you think it's your fault, and then you're going to go away, and that'll be the end of it. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to pay and go away. And in fact, you know, they're always saying, Ryan, can't fight City Hall, can't fight City Hall. You can't not fight City Hall in this day and age, because this is a grift. It can be stopped. We just have to kind of band together. We don't even have to have meetings or organizations. All we got to do is fight every ticket that we get. And, you know, myself, I started this lawsuit in Florida, in Palm Beach County, in the U.S. District Court. I've sent complaints to the FTC, the Florida Attorney General, the Florida Department of Transportation, all of them. And I've also sent complaints to the Google and Apple app stores, because they're in a heap of trouble now. States are coming after them. Florida, Texas, Louisiana, Idaho, all going after the app stores for minor data breaches. Mm-hmm. And once they know that that they're being watched, for instance, the app rating, every app has an age rating in the app stores. And generally, 4+ means it's safe for all ages. Now, anyone who's downloading that app and using it is getting their data harvested. Mm. So you can't consent. You can't give away your privacy rights when you're a minor. You don't have the capacity. So that in and of itself is illegal. So I expect the app stores will be taking action. If we can get them pulled off the app, that's the end of the parking industrial complex, because the only way they can get the money is through those apps. Pay stations, they're just not efficient enough. And a lot of places are getting rid of the pay stations, leaving you no choice but to use the app. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think getting those apps pulled down, anybody out there, if, I hate to tell people to write letters because generally it's a waste of time. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, I don't think it's a waste of time. You send letters to Apple's and Google's legal department demanding that they pull down or re-verify. Imagine Park Mobile, they have 65 million customers. If they have to re-verify every single one to determine that they're over the age of 18, that is going to grind that system to a halt. It's all about the money. If we go through the apps, it shuts down the gravy train for the cities. Mm-hmm. And they're all doing this in the dark.
Right. Well, it's big because it's everywhere. It's not just isolated to here and there. It's all over the place. America's Great Parking Scam, You've Been Robbed, author Carrie Lutz. By the way, if people wanted to find your book, you have a website. What is it?
Parkscam.com.
Parkscam.com. Thank you so much for bringing this attention to, I think a lot of people, they feel helpless in a situation. I think, hey, one, you're not alone. Two, you're not helpless. So let's make sure everyone knows about this book. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
I'm Ryan Recker. You're listening to The Terror Show on WORD. Don't go anywhere. Oh, I know we went long with Carrie Lutz, but I thought it was such good information. And thank you for the text message. One person said they're pushing this parking fee stuff so more people use public transportation. I like the conspiracy side of it. All right, we got to take a break. We'll get the very latest from Fox News coming up on WORD. Don't go anywhere.